This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny, are their reward.
Whether you are online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes from a very snow-filled Indiana. We have had a lot of snow here in my neck of the woods. Not quite on the epic buffalo levels of this year, but definitely quite a bit. Quite a bit more than we normally get here at this time of year. So as I dig myself out of the snow, I have a couple of things that I wanted to say. First of all, thank you so much to everybody who has been listening to my show so far. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to the radio affiliates that have been broadcasting me as well, Late Night in the Midlands and K98 Talk. I really appreciate the fact that you guys give me so much support and so much love. I really appreciate it. I love it. This week is actually my birthday on Wednesday. What did you guys buy me? I'm reflecting on my life, and I don't feel as old as I am. And I guess that's a good thing when you can look at things and say, you know what? I really don't feel like I am the age that I am. I guess I'm doing something okay. So, let's see, aside from the snow, today is, Monday, February 2nd of 2015, I think. Isn't that the year? It always takes me a month, 2 months to get used to the new years. Yesterday was the Super Bowl. I didn't watch it. I'm not a sports person. I don't care too much for it, but I heard tell that the Patriots won. So congratulations to them and to whoever are fans of that team. Yay. I heard that there was some strange things that went on towards the end of it, but I didn't really look too much into it. But, you know, I bring it up because one of the things that I ran across when it came to the Super Bowl was that in the days leading up to the big game, people were trying to get a hold of tickets, and some of the tickets in the nosebleed section, no less, were running upwards of $10,000-$15,000 for a ticket to a game. And I guess I don't really understand that. I don't really get how somebody could pay $10,000 just to go watch a football game for a couple of hours. I mean, maybe it's because I come from a background where I have been well, poor all of my life. When I was growing up, my family was so poor that we couldn't even afford the OR. We were just po'. So I guess to me, plopping down $10,000 on a ticket for a game, wow, that just, it really blows my mind. It really does. I don't get it. I don't get how people can do that, especially in light of all of the, well, all of the difficulties that are going on, especially here in America, where we have such a big homeless problem, people starving to death, people not knowing whether or not they're going to be able to pay their bills and so on and so forth. And yeah, granted, I understand that the people who are buying the tickets for the games, they're doing it based on the fact that they can afford to do it. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. I guess to me, I think that there are a lot better uses for that kind of money than just going and spending it on a couple of hours at a football game. But enough preaching for me on that. I have some news that I ran across that I wanted to get into. And well, by the way, tonight's episode is going to be a little bit weird. I'm going to talk about zero tolerance policies. The reason why I brought this topic up today is because a couple of news items that I ran across that I'll get to here in just a moment. But I also, in the second half of the show, want to talk about reality and the way that it works, the way that I see reality, and that type of thing. And I hope that people get a lot of good information out of today's show one way or the other. So I'm kind of bringing you two different topics, and it's sort of a dichotomy. I'm going to look at the negative, and then I'm going to look at the positive. So it's a little bit of a different format for the show today. So anyways, yeah, on to the news. The first bit of news that I have, in Seattle, wasting food can now cost you can now earn you a scarlet letter. Well, a scarlet tag, to be more accurate. The bright red tag posted on a garbage bin tells everyone who sees it that you've violated a new city law that makes it illegal to put food into the trash can. A quote from Rodney Watkins, a lead driver for Recology Cleanscapes, which is the waste contractor for the city. He said, "I'm sure neighbors are going to see these on their other neighbors' trash cans, and it's going to shape their mind in different ways." The council in Seattle voted to pass this new measure unanimously. It was a 9-0 vote for these new composting regulations that are being put into place. And no public opinion was sought or required for this new measure to be put into place. Now, here's my take on things. This is a matter of regulating morality, I guess you can say. And it kind of falls into the same category to me of regulating smoking, banning smoking, regulating how much sugar people can intake, how much sodas they can drink per day, and that type of thing. This is akin to a sin tax. So instead of it being one of the traditional sins like, well, alcohol or cigarettes or gambling or that type of thing, the new type of sin is not composting. It's a different mindset, but it's the same thinking behind it. When you try to legislate morality, however, you encounter a lot of problems. The way that people's minds work is that you can't show people what not to do by showing them the negative, because it reinforces the negative mindset. For instance, you can't what works better when you are trying to enact a litter campaign to get people to throw their trash into a trash bin instead of throwing it on the ground is not to show them, for instance, a collection of litter and saying, your town, the fellow people in your town have thrown away this much trash or have littered this much trash within the past 24 hours or something like that. What actually works better is to reinforce a positive on people. So you show them a picture of somebody that's actually putting the trash into the trash can, as opposed to showing them how much trash has been thrown away. You see, if people see the negative thing, psychologically, something ends up occurring that makes people actually do the negative thing. And it's that way with all of these different regulations that are being put into place, such as smoking bans, such as alcohol tax, and so on and so forth. What ends up occurring is that people will actually do the things more because of the bans, you see. It sounds odd, but it is actually the truth. There have been a lot of studies that have been put forth by social engineers that have discovered these facts, that when you reinforce a negative, you actually cause the negative to become the normal. And you reinforce it by actually showing people what the negatives are. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's the same thing with this composting issue. There's nothing wrong with composting. In fact, I fully encourage it. I think that it's that everybody should do it. And I do it myself. However, you can't make it a law and expect that people are going to follow through with it. It's just the way it is. So that's my take on this. And I will say as well that the fact that Seattle is doing this, something funny that occurred to my mind is, well, Washington now has pot legalized. How much food do they expect is going to actually be wasted? People are going to get the munchies a lot more. Not as much food to be wasted now. Okay, anyways. According to the White House, the Taliban are not terrorists. That's the headline for this article. They act like terrorists. They regularly kill civilians like terrorists. But the White House does not consider the Afghan Taliban to be a terrorist group. They do carry out tactics that are akin to terrorism. They do pursue terror attacks in an effort to try to advance their agenda, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest explained today. But they have a different classification. Semantics aside, the Taliban is suspected in multiple attacks over just the last 48 hours that have killed more than 38 people, including a suicide bombing attack on a funeral in Afghanistan that killed 16 and wounded 39. Oh boy, you gotta love how the propaganda type of stuff works, right? Even so, the White House does not call the Afghan Taliban a terrorist organization, Ernst explained, because they are different than an organization like Al-Qaeda that has a much broader global aspiration to carry out acts of violence and acts of terror against Americans and American interests all around the globe. So they're different than an organization like Al-Qaeda, which was set up by the United States, and the fact that the Taliban was not set up by the United States, and they're sort of more of a free organization. That's the difference, right? See, the reason why I wanted to bring this up was because this is actually a great example of propaganda. You know that I've been talking about that some of late, because I want people to understand how the propaganda machine works, because we're all played it every moment of every day. You know, if you were watching the Super Bowl, every commercial that you saw in the Super Bowl was propaganda. But something like this, where they are trying to change what the words mean on the fly, is a great example of pure propaganda. They're a terrorist organization, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the only reason why they are trying their hardest to change the meaning of it, or change the way that people are viewing the Taliban, is because they've been busted with the fact that they wouldn't negotiate with a terrorist organization like ISIS, but they would negotiate with the Taliban. You see, it's because they got caught in the act. Now they have to backpedal their way through and try to change what the meaning of the word is so that they can get away with it and not have anybody bitch and complain about it. That's what it comes down to. That's an example of propaganda. Words mean different than what they have always meant when it comes to propaganda. They are trying to change the mindset of people so that they no longer think one way about the word, and they're now thinking a new way about it. They're trying to change the semantics of it. And this is an obvious tactic, at least it is to me. And I bet it is for you as well, especially if you've been listening to my show any and have caught what I've been saying about the propaganda stuff. You guys should be pretty well aware that this is exactly what it is. Hope so, anyway. And if not, I'll keep pointing it out. I have no problem doing it, because it's one thing I stand against in a big way. So, the next article is another one where you can kind of see where the future is heading, the breadcrumbs that they're leading us with. Want to gain entry to your office, get on a bus, or perhaps buy a sandwich? We're all getting used to swinging a card to do these things, but at Epicenter, a new high-tech office block in Sweden, they're trying a different approach, a chip under the skin. Felicio Del Costa, whose company is one of the tenants, arrives at the front door and holds his hand against it to gain entry. Inside, he does the same thing to get into the office space that he rents, and he can also wave his hand to operate the photocopier. That's all because he has a tiny RFID, or radio frequency identification, chip, about the size of a grain of rice, implanted in his hand. Soon, others among the 700 people expected to occupy that complex will also be offered the chance to be chipped. Oh, they're actually being offered it instead of being demanded. Sorry. Along with access to doors and photocopiers, they've promised further services in the long run, including the ability to pay in the cafe with a touch of the hand. Now, I know a lot of people out there who are of the more religious bent are going to be sitting here shouting into your headphones at the moment, or your speakers at the moment, "Mark of the Beast! Mark of the Beast!" And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I mean, as far as Revelations is concerned, I have my own opinions as far as that book is concerned. But I do think that when it comes to things along these lines, where they're trying to get human beings to accept being chipped, to accept having these things inserted into us, it's a dangerous proposition. You might have a religious reason for thinking so, but I have more of a psychological and consciousness type of viewpoint with it. It's a dangerous proposition because this brings us one step closer to the idea of integrating man and machine together. And that's something that they've been working really hard at doing. This is the whole transhumanism agenda. This chipping stuff falls right into the transhumanism agenda. It brings us a step closer to the thought that we, as a human being, are going to be integrated into a computer system and our consciousnesses downloaded into this computer system. That's a scary proposition to me. I don't care for the idea at all. Although I'm a science fiction geek and I love reading and writing science fiction, to actually go through with it in real life, that's a different story. And it's a different subject altogether. And it's one that really concerns me. Bill Gates said in a quote, "The day is quickly coming," and I'm paraphrasing here. "The day is quickly coming when you will all bend or bow your knee before a silicon fist and beg your binary gods for mercy." And that's a pretty scary quote because he's one of the people that are sort of a driving force behind some of these transhumanist agendas. You can kind of see where they're trying to lead us with it all. And what's going to come next? The whole medical RFID chips, you're going to have all your vaccinations logged onto your RFID. And it's just a matter of somebody walking around a huge complex, sending out a pulse from a little device that they're carrying and find out exactly who in the building or who in the area has not been vaccinated with their certain vaccines. And, oh, Ira, it's time for you to get vaccinated. Oh, Charlie, you didn't get your vaccine yesterday. You better go and get it right now or you're going to be put in jail. It's all coming, guys. This is the stuff that they're leading us to. This is the type of control system that they're looking to put in, because without having this control system in place, their plans can't come to fruition. It's just as simple as that. Keep an eye out on it, guys. Keep an eye out on it. Now, this next story and the one after it are where my second part of the show is going to come in, the part that I get to after the break, where I talk about zero-tolerance policies. I wanted to read these little segments off to you, though, because this is where things are really, really getting insane. It's a sick, twisted world. It really is. So first of all, in Texas, Kermit, Texas, I believe, students at a middle school were forced to drop their pants and underwear to inspect them for poop after poop was found on a gym floor. "I felt uncomfortable and I didn't want to do it," 11-year-old Eliza Medina said. "I felt like they violated my privacy." She was just one of about two dozen elementary students who were rounded up in the small town 90 miles southwest of Fort Worth. Eliza's mother, Maria Medina, said boys were taken to one room, girls to another, and they were ordered to pull down their pants to check them to see if they could find anything. Now, this is actually something straight out of an episode of South Park. This type of thing was actually on one episode of South Park. I remember watching the episode. And I have to ask, since when is school policy being implemented based on inspiration from frickin' South Park? Okay, this is a crazy, stupid situation. I mean, at least they were kind enough to separate the boys and the girls. I'm surprised, actually. But I mean, what are they looking to accomplish with it? Are they looking to see, okay, well, I found poop on the floor, so we're going to check everybody to see if they have poop on their butt. I mean, whatever happened to going to the bathroom and wiping your butt? Whatever happened to, okay, well, I'm sorry, but there are some kids that are out there that fail to wipe properly after they go to the bathroom. So what if they find two or three people that didn't wipe properly, and now what are you going to do? You see, I mean, this is insanity. It really is. And this falls right into the next insane story. This one, oh my God, people. Texas school suspends 9-year-old for making terrorist threats. A fourth grader in Kermit, Texas was suspended for... Okay, this is where the Kermit, Texas was. Sorry. A fourth grader in Kermit, Texas was suspended for making terrorist threats after allegedly telling a classmate that he had a magic ring that could make the boy disappear. According to Kermit Elementary School officials, 9-year-old Aiden Stewart told a classmate that he possessed a magic ring forged in Mount Doom, a fictional location from J.R.R. Tolkien's Hobbit and Lord of the Rings series. Kermit Elementary Principal Roxanne Greer told the Odessa American that she could not comment on the suspension because, and I quote, all student stuff is confidential. But Stewart said that she told them that any and all threats to a child's safety, including magical ones, would be taken seriously by the school. Guys, this is crazy. Okay, well, first of all, student stuff, that was a quote from the principal. Most principals, I would assume, have had some kind of education, and to refer to it as student stuff, what, come on, what about saying something like, oh, well, all students' records are considered to be confidential, all student disciplinary records and hearings are considered confidential by the school, and therefore we cannot disclose any information. I mean, something that's at least more intelligent than student stuff. Maybe that's just me. But, okay, since when did public schools start taking sorcery seriously? And that's a real serious question that I'm asking here, because that's exactly what it comes down to. This was not even a zero tolerance in the fact that the kid had a weapon of any kind under any circumstances. He just said he had a magic ring that'll make him disappear. What the hell? Where does common sense even exist in this situation? I mean, what's next? Okay, what about if they start locking up Christians who threaten children's eternal souls to hell and damnation, or promise that magical Jesus is coming to destroy the world, because that's part of the Christian dogma, right? And a lot of Christians speak about that, right? So what if a kid is in class and he starts talking about the fact of, oh, well, you have to be saved in order to avoid going to hell? How many kids are out there that say that kind of stuff all the time? The ones that are raised up in especially hyper-Christian environments, they say this kind of stuff all the time. I've heard it a lot of times, okay? Well, that right there is a threat, right? So Are you going to start seeing suspensions along those lines? Is that what's coming next? This is crazy. This is insanity, people. And I'm going to get into the zero tolerance policies here after the break. But, you know, one thing, the father of the boy who was suspended, I thought had a perfect response to it. I mean, frankly, I would have said a lot more, but this response of his is great. He said, "I assure you that my son lacks the magical powers necessary to threaten his friend's existence. If he did, I'm sure that he'd bring him right back." It's insanity. And this stuff really has got to stop. We have got to do something about this right now, or we're all in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to get to the zero tolerance policies stuff here after the break. And later on, I'm going to be talking about the nature of reality and some of the things that are associated with it and my thoughts regarding all of that. So zero tolerance policies coming up next. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
Hello, this is Dick Farrell here to tell you about OxySilver, legally available only through CureShop.com and HealthyWorldStore.com. Don't be fooled buying silver products from copycats and criminals. You've heard Dr. Leonard Horowitz and experts urge you to avoid deadly vaccinations and illegal operators selling stolen OxySilver and OxySilver copycats. You've heard experts tell you about suppression in alternative medicine and confusing propaganda in healthcare and the truth movement. Read Dr. Horowitz's book, Healing Celebrations, to learn how miracle healings can be made to happen through faith, prayer, and a pure diet. Get great immunity using vitamin C, D, and OxySilver, Liquid Dentist, GI Flora Pro, a top-shelf probiotic. Use Green Harvest as a great-tasting meal substitute for energizing organic nutrients and losing weight. And Zeola, and natural clays for detoxifying your body. More advice, all these products, and more are available from TheCureShop.com, including OxySilver, the world's most powerful silver hydrosol. Electro-energized to put risky injections, toxic antibiotics, and deadly drug pushers out of business. OxySilver is covalently bonded to water, unlike any other silver product, using the frequency of chlorophyll 528. What Dr. Horowitz explains is Pure Tone Love, the universal healer. NASA originally developed covalently body silver hydrosols to keep astronauts healthy in space. Dr. Horowitz added the 528 frequency to NASA's formula and more. OxySilver works three ways: to electrocute dangerous germs better than anything, far better than all leading silver products, and without any risk. OxySilver oxygenates and resonates with 528 for faster healing. So help save lives, putting drug lords and criminals out of business, and keep the LNM network broadcasting. Register for our free cooperative at healthworldaffiliates.com/4948. That's healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948, and buy OxySilver and other great products in package specials at great discounts from TheCureShop.com. Buy OxySilver, GI Flora Pro, Green Harvest, Zeolove, and Love Minerals at great discounts at CureShop.com. That's CureShop.com with two P's. CureShoppe.com. Or call toll-free at 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Do it now.
Waiting for some pressure and time are all it takes to blow the mind. We're so far down. We're so far gone. We're so far.
So far down, we don't even know which way is up anymore. So many of the policies, the programs, the BS that they put out every single moment of every single day are out to bring us down, to hold us down, to change our minds into things that we never wanted them to be. You know, I mean, it's like the insanity of some of the stuff that goes on in this world. You've got to look around and ask yourself the question, are these people even human? Are these people even human? Especially when it comes to our children. How many children out there are harmed every day by all of this stuff that goes on? How many children are kidnapped, tortured, raped, everything? All the horrific things that you can imagine. 300,000 children every year are traded on the sex trade market and on the human trafficking market. 300,000 every single year. 1.2 million people are trafficked every single year. And yet nobody pays attention. Nobody asks questions. Nobody wants to try to figure out what to do about this problem or what to do about the things that are going on. We're so far down and we're so far gone that we don't even realize that we're already so far on the path of destruction that we may not be able to turn it back. But we do have to try, right? We have to keep trying. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep standing up for what is right. If you see somebody that's being hurt, stand up and say something about it. If you see somebody that needs help, stand up and do something about it. Don't sit there and wait for somebody else to come along and do it. You may be the only choice, and you may be the only chance that that person has. Don't ignore what goes on around you, and never surrender. Every moment of every day, fight for your right to be alive, to be human, and to be the person that you want to be. So guys, welcome back. Thank you for sticking around through that break. My name is Ira Robinson, and you are listening to Open Eyes. Hopefully I can open your eyes on to some of the idiocy that surrounds zero tolerance policies. I'll start off by saying that I have zero tolerance for asinine people. And when it comes to these zero tolerance policies, that's pretty much who's in control of them. Almost every school district in America has a zero tolerance policies, including ones that are regarding weapons, drugs, bullying, fighting, and so forth. While these zero tolerance policies may look good on paper, in practice, they suck in more ways that can be counted. For those of you who don't know, zero tolerance policies are, well, they make it so that if a student is guilty of violating whatever policy is in place, they are immediately suspended or expelled from school. And that's in the hopes of fighting the issue, whatever the issue may be. So, for instance, if they have any kind of weapon of any sort, then they are immediately suspended or expelled, depending on what the administration considers the severity of the case. Now, this is due to the fact that the Supreme Court has consistently avoided taking any cases on that involve zero tolerance policies. They leave it basically up to the states to have the final say on whatever happens in their districts. So let me be frank with this. There are pros and cons when it comes to this issue. On one hand, zero tolerance policies do make it plain that safety is of the utmost importance for our kids while they're at school. On the other hand, there's a lot of nonsense that flows around this issue. Let me give you a few cases in point here. You heard me talking earlier about the issue of the 9-year-old being expelled basically for sorcery, which I think, I know it's basically the most recent one that has come to public light. And to me, I'm going to give you some ridiculous examples here, but that one just may top the cake. I don't know. I got to ask myself the question of, since when are we living in the plains of the Serengeti, where some tribes over there actually do still kill people who are suspected of practicing sorcery, or the Amazonian jungle, where that kind of thing is maligned as well. I mean, since when are we living in those kinds of situations? Have we really gotten that far off the track that sorcery is now to be considered a problem in public schools? I mean, I know Harry Potter is popular, but this is ridiculous. A 6-year-old was forced to sign a contract without her mother present, mind you, and before 18 years of age, which is the legal age that one must be in order to be held to a contract, at least in most states. But she was forced to sign a contract that she would not kill anyone else or herself for drawing a picture resembling a gun and pointing her crayon at someone and saying the words, pew, pew, pew. A crayon. What the freak, people? A crayon. Since when is a crayon a deadly weapon? Since when is it a danger in any way, shape, or form besides choking on it? If you're stupid enough to eat the crayon. Okay, I suppose they could poke somebody's eye out with a crayon. Another case in point. A 13-year-old student was suspended for threatening a teacher with a weapon. The weapon was a rubber band. The way that the kid threatened the teacher was by tossing it on the desk when they were asked to remove it from their wrist. So the kid takes the rubber band off of their wrist and tosses it on the desk. And he was suspended for threatening a teacher with a weapon. I don't even know what to say about that one. He didn't even, number one, okay, again, since when is a rubber band a weapon? It's an office supply, okay? But number two, since when is actually doing what you're told to do a threat? Two boys age 9 and 10 were charged with felonies and taken away from school in handcuffs, accused of making violent drawings of stick figures. Now, get that. They were taken away in handcuffs, 9 and 10 years old, in handcuffs, for drawing stick figures. The boys were arrested, and this is a quote from the article for this. The boys were arrested Monday on charges of making a written threat to kill or harm another person, which is a second-degree felony. And to top it all off, the special education students used pencils and red crayons to draw primitive stick figure scenes on scrap paper. No comment. Okay. How about terrorist threat criminal charges filed against 2 8-year-olds in Irvington, New Jersey, for playing cops and robbers with a paper gun? Playing cops and robbers with a paper gun. Now, I spent a lot of time on the playground in my youth. I spent a lot of time playing cops and robbers in my youth. I used cap guns and all different kinds of stuff. But since when exactly is a paper gun a deadly weapon? Okay, again, I ask the question, where does common sense and actually protecting children come into play? There literally are hundreds of cases and stories about this type of thing happening. I mean, I'm sure you guys remember the story about the kid with the Pop-Tart. The kid on the school bus eating his Pop-Tart. It ends up being eaten to resemble the shape of a gun, which is basically just an L shape. And he's suspended from school for that. For eating a damn Pop-Tart. The sad fact is that this is not new. This stuff has actually been going on for decades, but it's just getting worse. When are people in America going to actually wake up and say, look, this stuff has got to be stopped? I mean, it makes our schools look stupid. It makes our politicians look stupid, which they're already, you know, looking stupid. I mean, it makes them look even stupider than they actually are, or than they already are, which I guess just proves a point. And it makes us look stupid as a nation. I mean, as individuals, we have got to stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. Remember how I always talk about the phrase, it's for the children? Well, this is one case where I would say that it's safe to use that for good for once. I mean, the phrasing for the children is how they're getting away with doing these zero tolerance policies. When someone says the phrase for the children, or they were doing this for the children, or anything along those lines, what ends up happening is a psychological trigger goes on. It's a pre-programmed response in the human brain to immediately go into defensive mode to protect our children. Whenever there is a even an idea of a threat occurring. So they use this weapon against us. They do it a lot. You see it with the gun control stuff going on. You see it with these zero tolerance policies, things going on. They're using it as an excuse. But you see, the better question to all of this stuff is, where does the student carrying a paper gun making terrorist threats and the monthly mandated active shooter drills draw the line? Where is the dividing line between a child making a terrorist threat because they're carrying a paper gun and literally men coming into the school with guns and threatening every single person in that school? And this happens. These active shooter drills are actually mandated in some states to be done on a monthly basis. That is terror threats. There was one case in New Jersey, if I remember correctly, where two police officers dressed in plain clothes and masks and everything went into a school and did one of these active shooter drills. They're going around the school, putting students up against the wall. They pulled one girl out of line against the wall and held a gun to her head, held his service revolver to her head, and the gun was loaded. Where does common sense come into play with this stuff? And when are we going to say enough is enough? You people need to leave our children alone. I understand it's for the safety of the children, but where does the dividing line come into play? And of course, a lot of them point to the whole Sandy Hook thing with it all. Oh, we have to do it because look what can happen, right? And yet that was a false flag. That was fake from the word go and has been proven to be so. Look back in my archives. Listen to my show about the Paris false flag attack, and you'll see the proof of that occurring. There has been enough evidence to come forward that proves that whole thing was fake to begin with. And yet we have people actually going into the schools and committing these active shooter drills, the lockdown drills. Drill, drill, drill. Fear, fear, fear. And then we wonder why our kids are as messed up as they are. I weep for the future, people. I really do. I'm glad that my kids are homeschooled at this point so that they don't have to go through this stuff. They were going through some of these things while they were still in school. And they were terrified with it all. Where does the dividing line come in? On Friday, I put forward a news piece that I wanted to bring up here again because this really does fit right into this whole mess. Roughly 1,500 kids are tied up or locked down every day by school officials in the United States. At least 500 students are locked up in some form of solitary confinement every day. Whether it be a padded room, a closet, or a duffel bag. In many cases, parents are rarely notified when such methods are being used. On any given day, when school is in session, kids who act up in class are pinned face down on the floor, locked in dark closets, tied up with straps, bungee cords and duct tape, handcuffed, legs shackled, tasered or otherwise restrained, immobilized, or placed in solitary confinement in order to bring them under quote-unquote control. And yet it's for their protection, right? It's for their safety, right? Well, you know, there's a fine line between safety and abuse, and there's a very fine line between discipline and abuse. You see, the education system is not there to educate. It is there to indoctrinate. I have said this many times, and hopefully people will understand this. It is about indoctrination. When they're there and they're going through the education, you know, the learning process, it's done through repetition and memorization. And that's not education. That's indoctrinating someone. It's as simple as that. And these zero tolerance policies are all a part of that indoctrination as well. These active shooter drills, the constant fear tactics that are being used against the children, that's all part of the indoctrination process as well. And then you have examples of the public service announcement in California. I believe it was in California. No. This public service announcement was nationwide. The PSA started off showing a kid standing in a hallway, and he looks around a corner and he sees his mom sitting on a couch, and she's crocheting and watching TV. And the kid gets kind of a fearful look on his face. And he goes upstairs and he goes into his parents' room and he pulls open a drawer in their dresser and he pulls out a gun from the top drawer. Goes to his room, puts the gun in his duffel bag, and closes it up. And the scene changes then to show him at school, sitting in class, looking all nervous, looking all paranoid, and the class ends. He remains behind, and the teacher is sitting at her desk, and he comes up to the desk with his duffel bag, opens it, and pulls out the gun. And immediately the scene shows the teacher, "Oh my God, he's got a gun." And then he puts the gun on the desk and says, "I'm afraid to have this in my home. Can you do something about it?" And then the scene ends and it flashes on the word something to the effect of, "Do this yourself," basically. Okay, so this ad is telling students to be afraid of the guns. I mean, where exactly was there an issue with the gun in the house? The mother was just sitting in her on the couch watching TV, doing her crocheting or whatever it was that she was doing. What's there to be afraid of with the gun there? Was she holding the gun and waving it about like a mad person? No. The gun was in her dresser, just sitting there. Now, granted, that shows another propaganda portion of things. And again, this is all propaganda, right? But that shows another tactic of propaganda that's being used, that they are demonizing or making the people who own guns appear stupid, because nobody's going to keep their gun with a kid in the house. They're not going to keep their gun in their dresser drawer. Only stupid people do that. Only the idiotic of the gun owners do that. And I can guarantee you that 90% of those people actually have the gun illegally. But the point is that they don't show this gun sitting in a gun safe. They don't show this gun tucked away in a protected place and all that kind of stuff. But it was hidden from sight. It was just sitting there. So what is there to fear with that gun being there? I mean, did the mother threaten the kid? No, it just the existence of the gun was enough to induce fear, at least according to this public service announcement. And then second, they're teaching children with an ad like this to do something that would get them killed. If a child was to take a gun to school, the only thing that they're going to do is not feel protected and safe because they took the gun to school and they, oh, here you go. I want you to take care of this because I'm afraid of having this in my house. No, the kid's going to get blown away because the cops are going to get called. And the next cop that comes along and sees the kid with a gun is going to blow the little kid away. It happens. It happens a lot. It happens with fake guns, let alone real guns. So they're teaching kids the best way and the quickest way and the easiest way to get themselves killed. Suicide by cop. This is idiotic. This is stupid. And I just, I see right through it. I can cut right through it. Like, you know, I can smell a lie like a fart in a car. That's what it comes down to. And that's exactly what this is. This is the game that they're playing. This is the type of thing that they're doing. They are indoctrinating our children to be afraid of everything so that they are filled with these stress chemicals and stress hormones so that they have to look at the nearest person, place, or thing as an object of protectiveness. Just to relieve them of the stress, just to get away from the stress. And that's how the school, the state, becomes a parent figure to these children. It's like the Stockholm Syndrome ramped up, basically. It's psychological and it's subtle, but that's why they do these things. And what they're doing with all of this stuff is they're putting it, They're making it so that the children that are being raised up now are going to be terrified of guns in the future, and will then, when the next cycle of gun grabbing rhetoric comes around 10 or 15 years from now or 20 years from now, when those who are of the age right now where they're keeping their guns and all that kind of stuff, they're going to be kind of getting out of the picture, and these children are then going to be the adults that make the changes and responsible for changing the laws and that type of thing. That's what they're trying to do. They have a long-term agenda with it. So make kids afraid of guns now so that 15, 20 years from now, when you try to grab the Second Amendment away again, it's much more likely to succeed because everybody's afraid of guns. We don't want them around. So yeah, get rid of them. That's what their long-term agenda is with all of this stuff. That's one thing that a lot of people just don't understand. The dark masters, these power players, these elite players, they have a long-term agenda and a long-term outlook on things. They don't think from week to week or year to year like we do. They think generationally. What can we do to change this generation so that the next generation changes into this? It's a real evil agenda. It really is. Okay, so guys, I'm going to take a break here real quick. And when we come back, I am going to speak about reality. I'm going to try to change gears on you guys here and talk a little bit about the nature of reality as I see it, and maybe what we can do to help to foment some changes that need to be made because of the way that reality works, because of the way that things can go. So we shall see. I'm looking forward to talking about it. It's something that I'm pretty passionate about. So it's one of the subjects I'm very interested in. So hold on for just a few minutes. We'll be back after this message.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
Tune into The Family Factor with Denny C. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 5 a.m. as he looks at all the challenges facing the family today. Denny will give you a refreshingly new look at tackling some of the biggest issues. So start your day off on the right foot with Denny C. and The Family Factor, right here on the New Spark Radio Network and K98Talk.com.
Sunshine.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Feel it now, 10,000 voices calling out, standing strong without a doubt, showing us how much we're loved. Hear them now, stamping feet and hearts of till heaven is within our touch. So take it now and raise it up. You want it, it's the sweetest cup. All that you've been fighting for, everything you've dreamed and more. So take it now and raise it up.
Time to Raise It Up indeed. Man, I love that song. My wife found that song a couple of days ago, and I just had to bring it to the show because, man, that song is so uplifting. That song is so powerful. We really can make a difference. Raise it up. Raise the consciousness level up. Get some positivity in your life and stop being surrounded by all the negativity that the dark masters, the power elite, they want you to have those feelings on you. And you don't have to. You can look in a different way. You can bring yourself into a new realm of thinking. It really is just as simple as that. Just a matter of the change of mindset. It can be a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, it really, really can. So hello and welcome back again to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson, and let's talk a little bit about reality.
We're not exactly sure with this fuzzy line between consciousness and unconsciousness. I'm thinking that this whole thing might be someone's imagination. It might be your imagination.
What is real? How do you define real?
It is a deeper question altogether, which is, what do you desire? What makes you itch? What sort of a situation would you like?
What you call the external world is as much you as your own body. Your skin doesn't separate you from the world. It's a bridge through which the external world flows into you. And you flow into it.
The universe is in us.
What is your motive for action? What is it that drives you in your life today, not 10 years ago, or are you running the same pattern?
He said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
But in the end, the most important thing is, what's the purpose of your life? Why are you here?
Makes of us as people who we become. Ultimately, though, we have to have a sense that who we even have become has some kind of meaning.
For as long as humanity has existed, we have searched to find the answers for what you are. You know, where have we come from? What's the nature of reality? We are a species that has suffered from amnesia for almost the entire time that it has existed. So much evidence has shown that we are not just derived from some primal primate species, but that we have some higher potential, some higher purpose, and that we as a species have been here for far longer than modern science tries to claim. One of the questions that has plagued us is, what is the nature of ourselves? Are we good but do bad things? Or are we evil beings fallen from grace and trying to push our way back to the gates of heaven, so to speak? Well, therein lies the question of our duality. And whether we are simply a species that has clawed its way up to the top of the food chain, or are here to be droplets of the universe, consciously existing to experience all the things that the nature of reality has to offer. Are we dual-minded? Well, there is a lot of evidence to show that, yes, we are indeed dual-minded. We have a brain, and that brain has certain characteristics that are designed for our survival. Things like the fight-or-flight instinct, for example, lends credence to the idea that we were once something lesser and that this is a vestigial remnant of that time in our dark prehistory. Yet we are also conscious beings. We think, we feel, and we act according to those thoughts and feelings. Science has not come up with an explanation for the conscious mind or even how it developed or functions. So that brings about a great number of questions, doesn't it? I mean, are we more than simply the sum of our parts, as spiritual traditions would claim? Or are we simply the body going through the motions of being alive from one generation to the next? Most people try to say that when it comes to the duality of our natures, it's simply a matter of good versus evil, that there are negative things, and that all negative things are evil, and only fulfill evil purposes, while positive experiences are events that are inherently good. But that is simply not the case. Events themselves, much like information, is neither positive or negative. It just is. How we react to those things, however, is positive or negative. Whether as individuals or as a species, we can and do react positively and negatively to events. And yet the events themselves, whether it is a car driving down a road or a building falling after a terrorist attack, are neither aspect. How we view them or react to them is. You see, it's all a matter of perspective. Positive things can come from negative things. It really is a matter of how you look at it, at whether you perceive those aspects of it. You see, I believe that we're all walking down a road. And on one side of the road is everything that is dark, negative, evil, the poverty, starvation, mistreatment of animals, so on and so forth. All of those things could be considered to be negative things. The ice capades, all of that is very negative, very dark. On the other side of the road are all of the good things, the positive things, light and love and joy. The Lucky Charms guy shooting out his rainbow of marshmallows everywhere. All of those things are positive things. Well, we're walking down a road right through the center of it all. We're in neither aspect. We're not walking in the negative, and we're not walking in the positive. But our heads can turn to look at the different things. So an event will happen, for instance, that is of a negative nature, and we can turn our heads and look at that negative event that occurred. And we can understand that it was a negative event. We're always in the middle, perched between these two aspects of reality. We can change our view at any time if we so desire. Now, one small problem that occurs is this. Science has found that as a default, we tend to look towards the negative side of things. This is because it's a survival instinct built into the brain. We, for example, have to look at the negative things because if we don't look at the fact that the predator is coming up and stalking behind us, we're going to be eaten. So we have to be aware of all the things that are going on. We have to be aware that negative things can occur so that we can avoid them and not be eaten. You can go to one of my previous episodes. Actually, it was last week where I talked about the nature of the insane mind so that you can get an idea of what I'm talking about with all of this and how the emotional addictions work in tandem with the insane mind. And it works the same way with this. The mind is always focused on one thing and one thing only, survival. It will strive to keep you in the mode that you're currently in, no matter how much stress you have or how much worry you have, what dangers you're in, or what problems are occurring. Because it's focused only on keeping you alive. That's its purpose. We have a difficult time changing things because if we were to change anything in our life, our minds think that we're going to die. So it will do everything that it can do to fight against the changes that you need to make in your life so that you don't die. So because we have a difficult time changing the way that we look at things, we're alive, and if we viewed things any differently, then we'll die. Again, at least according to the mind. Everything that has occurred to you up until this very moment in time has brought you to this place to be alive. And your mind won't want you to change things because you'll die. So you see, to me, duality is not some aspect of good versus evil within us, as many spiritual traditions teach. Instead, it is a fight against ourselves, a standoff between our conscious and our unconscious minds. We have always got the choice between looking at the negative or looking at the positive. We've always got the choice of deciding that we will change the way that we live and function because we have free will and the ability to decide for ourselves our own fate. Not to be constrained by what the mind is doing in its fight to keep us alive, but rather to go forward with the thought that we can choose to choose. We don't have to live by instinct alone. That's for brutes. That's for animals. We are a part of the universe. We are made of the very essence of it, in fact, are we not? We carry with us the atoms of creation, and we can choose to think of ourselves in that way, as opposed to being controlled by what we don't even understand. You see, there are those out there that would use you. They would abuse you. They would take advantage of your unness and your lack of thought. These people, these brutes, these dark masters in this world, they want you to not know that you're something else. They don't want you to understand that you are actually outside of yourself. They don't want you to realize that the universe and all things within it are one giant computer, and that you're playing a game on one of the many multitudes of computers connected to it. I mean, that's the true nature of reality. All things are interconnected together in this universe by a wonderfully complex computer code that you, as the being that you are a computer operating system with many apps and games installed, each of which contributes to you as a whole. And just like any other computer game, you can change what you're doing at any time. You can turn the game off and load up a different one. You can tweak your settings so that you can have the best game that you possibly can. But no, the dark masters, these hackers that have invaded our systems, don't want you to realize that. Instead, they have installed virus after virus on you, overloading your system and stealing your data, your very life force, your power supply, to augment their own and to create the game that they want to play. They understand the nature of the game. They understand the way that reality simulator really works. They understand and they use it against you. I refer to things in a computer kind of terminology because that's the background that I have. But I hope that you get the idea with this, that reality is not what you think it is. It's not what you've been taught. Remember I said that there are things that science has found within us, those pre-programmed trigger effects that can be done at any given moment, depending on the circumstances, such as the for the children type of thing. And that's not the only one. There are thousands of them within us. Well, the dark masters, or the powers that be, or whatever it is that you want to call them, they know this too. And they use it against you at all times. Look at the media. Look how they play you. Every time that you turn on the TV, or listen to the radio, or look at a magazine, it's always pushing an agenda. They're really is no real news. There is only the agenda. Whatever buzzword terms that they're using that week. Look at right now. It's all about crisis, crisis, crisis. And yet the reality of the situation is that everything is far less dramatic than what they would have you believe. It's all about fear. They love to distract you. They love to pull you away from the thoughts that are deep, the things that will progress you forward. They want to distract you away from the things that they know would end them at a moment's notice. They were once the priest classes, doling out to the great unwashed masses what they claimed God wanted them to know. They spoke words that said, God will destroy you if you do not do exactly as the priest said. Bring us our dinner, they would say, and they demand the sacrifices be made. Oh, well, God said that the first portion would go to him. That went into the fire, sacrifice to appease the gods that brought us sins. The rest went to the priests. They were the ones sitting in sanctimonious halos and hypocritical words. They fattened themselves off of the work of the laborers. Oh, but they were there to save people. They were there to make sure that all of our souls went on to the heavenly estates, or to Valhalla, or to the Elysian fields. They still do that today. They live off the tithes of the congregations, making sure to fill you up with the thought that you are sinful and you're born into sin and you're surely going to perish and go burn into hell. I mean, they only need that 10% in order to save your soul. But it's not just the pastors and the priests. Those are old world leftovers, hangouts for the people that need to have their religious beliefs. Not that I'm knocking those, mind you. I just know how the priests operate. What they do with religion is not what you do with religion. You don't need someone, though, to tell you that you are the same as someone else. You don't need to have someone tell you that what you say or do to someone else impacts you just as much. You know these things because that's a universal truth. That is the true reality. That's what it means to be here. We're all just playing this elaborate game, which is set up to explore what it means to be human, to think and to feel, and to love and to lose. We're all just here to learn and experience and grow. And those dark ones, those priests, they're trying to cheat. Will you let them keep cheating at the game? Don't divide yourself. Don't let them win. Don't let them make you think that you are any better or worse than anyone else. All of us are equal. All of us live. All of us breathe and we die. And all of us think and feel in the exact same ways. Remember, information is neither positive or negative. It just is. What you do with it is what changes who you are and how you will be for the rest of your days here. Don't let those days be planned out by someone other than yourself. Wake up to the things that are going on around you. Stand up against the things that are going on around you. Speak the truth and know that no matter what you did, you did what in the end is the right thing to do. I mean, those are the ways that the priests act. They go against the better part of human nature. Look at a group of babies together, children, 2, maybe 3 years old together in a room. They won't discern between black and white. They won't discern between brown and red. They won't discern between yellow and white. It's all the same. It's all someone coming into the room and saying, "Hey, I'm here. Come play." That's how we started out. When did things change? When when did reality, when did your understanding of things change from the fact that we are all one, go into the idea that we're divided? And if you take a look, it's when you started being educated, you see. There is no difference between people. There is no difference between black and white and red and yellow and purple and green and polka dot. There is no difference. The only differences are by culture and by tenet. And those things are taught. We learn those things. They're not how we start out. And we have to get to a point, you and me, that we think in the terms of children, that we don't see any divisions between each of us. Instead, we see someone coming in the room that looks like they're fun to play with, that looks like they're fun, that looks like they might be someone that we can get along with and laugh with and enjoy life with and maybe sit down and split an Oreo cookie and a glass of milk. That's reality. That's what reality really is. Okay? Think about it. That's how we start out, and then things change. We start off being unified as one, and then things change. Why? Because they want it to change. They want us to be divided. And we don't have to be. When you look at your life, you can think about it in these terms. A drop of water in a waterfall exists only for a brief moment. During its moment of falling from one moment to the next, and then it disappears. Its existence was not what it was while it was with the rest of the water droplets, nor what it will be at the end of its singular moment in time as it journeys downwards. It's that way with life. You only exist in this moment. There is no past. That person no longer exists. There is no future. That person does not exist. It is only you, right here, right now, that exists. What are you going to do with that moment? Are you sitting and waiting for the next moment to come? Are you looking at the future and wasting this one moment that you have? Leave the future to itself. You can appreciate that moment then. But what you have right now, in this singular moment, is all that you are. All that you have been destined to be, and all that matters. What are you doing with this moment in time? Are you worried about the future? Then change what the future is going to be and do it in this moment. Worry is a useless emotion. If you can do something to change what you are worried about, then do something to change what you're worried about. And then you can stop worrying. And if you can't change what you're worried about, then stop worrying about it, because worrying is just a waste of energy. It does you no good. It eliminates the preciousness of this singular moment in time. You are not guaranteed to take another breath. You could die 5 minutes from now, and everything that your life has led to will be a culmination of all of those moments that you either spent in love or in fear. So what is it in the end that is going to be your final tally? Is it going to be love, or is it going to be fear? You don't have to waste those moments. You can hold on to those precious, precious gifts and stop being divided with each other. Stop fighting with each other. Stop being afraid of each other, because those fears are just put there by those who want you to be afraid. Those divisions are put there by those who want you to be divided, because they want to change the nature of reality to be shaped into what they want it to be. But when you have love, when you spread love, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Love and fear cannot exist in the same moment. It's one or the other. And you have a choice between the two. You have a choice of which one you want to look at. You have a choice of which one you are going to follow and walk in. Love or fear. All emotions come down to one of those two things, and all actions and events come down to one of those two things. And there's nothing wrong with either one, but it's your choice of how you want to live. And don't worry about your flaws. Don't be concerned if in this moment in time you have flaws or things that you consider wrong about yourself. Diamonds are the most beautiful things when they are flawed. It's what reflects the light, glinting and shining back at you as you stare at it. Stop looking at yourself like you're a lump of coal. You are not that. You are a diamond, and you are shining bright. You are beautiful in everything that you are right here, right now. All of the entirety of the history of the universe, from the moment it started, whenever that may have been, and if you go with the Big Bang Theory, 14 billion years ago, things began. Things started a process and started working towards this moment in time. All of creation has worked for this moment in time. For you sitting right there, listening to this voice coming through into your ears and hearing these words, every bit of history has come to this moment. Think of that for a moment. How precious is that? How amazing is that? All of your ancestors fought and worked and toiled, living and dying to bring you to here and now. Do you think that they want you looking at yourself like you are flawed? Do you think that they want you to look at yourself like you are an animal? Like you are out of control? Like there is something wrong with you? No. All of existence has worked to bring you right here, right now, to shine forward as the beautiful drop of dew sitting on top of the ocean that you are right now. And that's an amazing thing. That's reality. That's what you can grasp onto. You are a beautiful, shining, creative force in the universe. Stop letting everyone tell you that you are anything less than that. The only reason they're looking at you and saying that you are less than that is because that is how they view themselves. And you don't have to look at yourself through their eyes. You have a choice right now between fear and love. Which one is it going to be? So, guys, I am out of time. And I really don't want to be. I thank you for listening to this episode. I know that it was sort of a strange one. I know that it was sort of an episode that, well, is a little bit different and a little bit strange, perhaps. But I hope that you walk away from it with the intention that I had with it. That you can walk forward from this moment and think of yourself as being something that is just wonderful. Because you really are. You really, really are. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you exist. And that is all that matters. If you want to send an email to me, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE066. I will have links to all of the stories and everything that I had in this episode there. You can go to my Facebook or my Twitter pages. Those are at Open Eyes Network. And on Facebook, you can also find me at Ira Robinson. On Wednesday, I'm going to be talking about radical forgiveness, and that actually kind of ties into tonight's subject a little bit and sort of why I wanted to touch on this stuff tonight. But I'm looking forward to bringing that subject to you guys as well. I hope that you guys will get a lot out of it. That will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Stick around. Michael Vera will be bringing you Late Night in the Midlands here in just a few moments. And guys, until next time, please keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you for listening. Remember Wednesday, February 4th, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, LateNightInTheMidlands.com.